Good evening, everyone. All right. Just want to kind of share a little bit what's been happening with me a little bit. The picture's getting more and more clear every time. I don't know how to explain it. Just for the past couple of weeks, past couple, 3 days, even after Sunday, you know, it's getting clearer and clearer, the extension of God's love, what I'm trying to say. You realize when you read the scriptures and read about the people that had tears that wet the floor, and you find yourself in those places when you wake up in the morning, throughout the day, everything we've been learning, everything we've been instructed to do, and you follow the instructions, you find yourself shielded and protected, and then all of a sudden you find the stones coming out of your heart gets like mush, and you just weep when you think about God's love and His extension. I don't know if you know it or not, but I look at this now, and this is God's love towards me. This right here, every word, every scripture, everything I'm learning in the Torah portion, Moses went up on the mountain. And he's up there, and I'm thinking in excitement he's going to get the rules and the commandments to keep out the chaos, to get our pure hearts. And he comes down off the mountain, and what are they doing? God says, go get them, because I'm about to destroy them. But he gets down there. And can you imagine his heart? We just talked about it. A weight, heavy weights on the heart. And can you imagine Moses, with all his excitement, talking to God? And the finger of God writes all the commandments on those tablets. And he comes off the mountain. And he drops them. This is supposed to be for you. This is God's love for you, to help you. Your heart's all messed up, and I can't get it out of my mind. The Lord just keeps telling me in my mind, your heart, your heart, your heart. And all the word, everything we've got for the past couple of weeks is to protect our minds, protect our minds, to protect our minds. And He shields us, and He says it. Keep it close to you in Proverbs. Keep it close to you. It'd be a shield. It'd be a guard. Keep it close to you, more than gold, more than riches, more than anything close to you. Take the weights off. Take the weights off. Every distraction that's around you, everything that tries to hold the weight in your heart. And I give this. This is my extension of love towards you. And he drops those tablets. Can you imagine the weight that was on Moses' heart at the moment? All the hard work, all the effort, all the miracles, crossing the Red Sea, going through all those places to get on a mountain, to get to that point. And the people are doing that. Just for a little while, the people are doing that. And Brother Troy talked Thursday night about some things that's been going on. And I'm thinking about my pastors. They're going to anniversary. And we're all supposed to be taking care of God's stuff over here and feeding what needs to be fed and protecting what needs to be protected, listen to the Spirit of the Lord. And I don't know what it felt like, but to come home and be able to have God's messages of the kingdom. And we got sheep that's got head injuries. Head injuries. And when Brother Troy was talking Thursday night about that, I just got finished looking on social media, and I come across this guy. And you can put that picture up. And it just reminds me how the enemy is. And the Lord shared with me this picture of this guy. I read this picture. This is an electrician. This guy's an electrician. You may have read it or not. It may be a true story. It may not be. I don't know. But it made sense. This guy's an electrician. And he was going to work on a panel. And they instructed to check, make sure the panel isn't alive before you start working on it. And somebody told him the panel was dead. Well, instead of checking to make sure, he took the guy's word for it. You can look at this two ways. He could have prevented that from happening by going check and make sure, right? Think about the word of God. Think about somebody telling us about God and Jesus. What if we don't go check it for ourselves? We don't know if we don't go look at the instructions, right? But in this case, I thought, well, this guy, he gets up there. He doesn't check for himself. He takes the word's advice for it. The guy's advice for it. And he gets up there. He's got his hard hat on. He's working in the panel. And he bends over and his hard hat falls off. And he puts his head up against the panel and it was alive. And this guy's alive. He made it. Injured, but it could have been prevented. All he had to do was go check. Regular routine. Go check. Just go make sure it's not live. Electricity is very powerful. Most people don't make it away like he did. Electricity hits you and goes out another section of your body and you don't live. I worked for a contractor for Entergy called Red Simpson quite a few years back. And they show us pictures at safety meetings. And you see guys that didn't pay attention. They didn't check their gloves to make sure there wasn't holes in their gloves. And they're holding on to the rod. And they swing around and they hit the power line. And boom, their arms look like matchsticks. And all the way to the elbows. It's how powerful that stuff is. And how dangerous it is. Guys had holes blown through their stomach. Their legs was gone. Many of them died. They didn't make it. But that could have been prevented. Do you know the devil doesn't want to injure us? The devil wants to destroy us. He doesn't want to injure us at all. It may start out with an injury. And you know, the enemy does that. If we're not taking care of God's word in our hearts, our minds, shielding ourselves, and Brother Josh spoke like Brother Troy was talking about, that was an important instruction and warning from the Father. He said, listen, you need to put on the helmet. You need to put on the shield. You need to put on the breastplate, all the armor. You need to protect your mind. Because the enemy is going to throw a lie. And if you're not there to protect and prevent, you get hit with a lie, you get injured. Some make it back. Some don't make it back. David made it back. He was injured, right? He looked. He saw. And what happened? He started thinking in his mind. And there went the lie. Deceived. Deception. And he went that way. But the cool thing that David did, the right thing that he did, was he humbled himself. He humbled himself before the Lord. And he was saved. People like Saul, they didn't get saved. Lost. Gone. Over. But I just wanted to show that picture of that guy up there, just to keep it in your mind, that the enemy's not out to play. Not to lie, cheat, steal, destroy. That's his main goal, is to destroy. Oh, especially those who want to talk about God and his love and his kingdom. I don't want that to happen, right? So I look at this now more. It's his love for me. It's his love towards me, his instructions. And, you know, I was laying in bed the other night. Went out fishing, and I smashed my finger. But it was cold the other morning. And it just kind of tingled and got numb. And when I got home after fishing, went and took a little break on the couch. And that booger started hurting. It started throbbing. It hurt me so bad, my elbow all the way up my shoulder was hurting. And I remember when I worked with National Allwell a couple years back, I smashed my finger between two flanges. And it hurt so bad, I couldn't take the pain. They brought me to the hospital. And they put that hot needle on there. Oh, that burns really bad. It hurts so bad. That lady stuck that thing in there and went, ah! And the blood comes out and relieves the pressure. And I was thinking about that. I was like, that pain or this pain? That pain? Oh, I ain't going out. I'll just put up with the pain. But it hurt. About 2 hours, it was throbbing. My wife put some oils on it. So I went and lay down in the bed. It was hurting me so bad. I'm just thinking and thinking. And then I started thinking about the Lord. I said, my Lord, I said, this is a little finger pinch. I said, my Lord, you're an incredible man. I thank you so much for all the things that you've done for me. All the pain, that's not even on the scale, not even close And I talked to him. I said, I thank you so much that you did all that for me so I can get a pure heart. I'm getting a pure heart. The stones are coming out to those who listen, those who heed the warnings and instructions. Shield yourself with his word. And then his spirit comes and he shows you those little things. And then we come on Sunday. I haven't been the same since. I keep thinking about all those weights. I imagine the devil standing right by me. And every time a weight goes to come, he says, you want one? I said, no. No, I don't want one. He's got a ton of them, doesn't he? He'll hand them out all day long. Doesn't hurt him a bit. Makes him enthused to see us weighed down and knows that we're not going to make it to the end. But I think about those weights and it helped me. And my Aunt Mary, she's been texting me. And I texted her one of the services, some of the stuff that I could remember as best I could. And she said, oh, that helps me out so much. She said, because when I read, I'm not understanding what I'm reading. But that's understandable about the kingdom. So I started thinking about the weight. She's been weighed down a lot of stuff with my grandfather and, you know, a lot of things in that arena. That she's got her job and she's got her kids and stuff going on in their arena. So I condensed it down the best way I could about Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12, about what I learned about it. Because I had never seen that before. It's always been the faith chapters. I never seen the imperfections of these guys in there like he showed us, like the Lord showed us. It was incredible. And Yeshua, and Peter, and the weight. So I sent that text to her. And she said, thank you so much. I'm taking the weight of this off. I'm taking the weight of that off. I'm not holding on to these weights no more. And the next day I get a text message. Doing good, doing good. So she's really doing good with it. So, you know, it not only helps us, but it's a residual effect for somebody else. Helps to get the weight off of them when you can share it with them when you allow it to work in your life, right? So the Lord does everything he can to get us instructions to keep us safe and headed in the right direction. And so Hebrews 13:17 was an important one that Brother Troy, the pastor, talked about. Obey your leaders. Actually, that was Brother Josh that talked about that. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You know, it's not an easy thing to get up here and do this kind of stuff, you know. For me to leave my house this afternoon and come up here, it's not easy getting up here. This is not peaches and cream. I got a responsibility. I got to heed to these instructions. When I teach this, I got to be doing this. Right? I got a responsibility. And it says, let them do this with joy, without groaning, for that will be of no advantage to you. And then in Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, 33 through 36. Now remember, keep in mind, this is God's love towards me. Heed instruction, son, and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. He just cares for us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. He's just trying to help us. That's all he's trying to do. Proverbs 10, 16 and 17. Proverbs 10, 16 and 17. The ways of the righteous leads to life. The gain of the wicked to sin. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life. But he who rejects reproof leads others astray. See? I was out on the boat thinking the other day about when I was giving my warning. If you don't straighten up, you don't straighten up and get it right and adhere to these things and straighten some of these things up that's in your life, it's going to be like the day you walked in these doors. You know you can shrink back. You can go back. That's why he tells us, hey, hold it dear to you every day when you wake up, throughout the day. Meditate on it. I've been reading stuff I ain't never heard. It's incredible. It's just so incredible. Words can't even describe all the people I'm learning about and all the things in the Bible. But I thought about that again this morning. I said, Lord, things could be different today if I had not heeded your warning, right? I said, yep. You'd have been right back where you started from. It wouldn't have been good. You had to start all over. That wouldn't have been good. It would have been real bad. Proverbs 5, 12, and 13. And you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers, or incline my ear to my... I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. Think about that. Every word that is spoken through every minister in this church was important to God and is important to us. These instructions to take heed, to go home, bring them with us and go over it and over it to shield us, to overshadow us. To make the right choices, to make the right decisions, to prevent us from having head injuries, to get us to the pure heart, to get us close to Him and closer to Him. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. While we're on the subject of hearts, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways. According to the fruit of his deeds. I sit down and I think about sometimes I wanted to blame other people for things. And now I'm thinking about it. It never was. It never was them. It was just Him. Say, I'm not going to let you loose. Because it's only right for your heart. Because you got some things in there. When you get it out, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And when all those weights come off, there's nothing like it. Becomes pure. And it's the love that He gives, not as the world gives. It's incredible. And all those times you think of all the examples of the people in the Word, but they wept. And they weep. How can a person weep so much? Because you get a pure heart, you get closer to God. And there's nothing like being close to Him. It's so incredible. But the stones have got to come out, like Brother Troy said. Those stones got to come out. Can't stay. It's the only way. And He loves us. Oh, trust me, He loves us. There's things the enemy lies to. It makes you seem and think it's not going your way because of somebody or something else. And you fight it tooth and nail. But He's not going to let you pass because He loves you that much. He won't let you pass. You pass go when you discover the stone and you let it loose. I wanted to read from this paper so bad tonight. But the Lord said, you're not reading off from that paper tonight. And I said, well, I don't know what to say. He said, share your heart. And that's what I do. I share my heart. Like Pastor says, I can go anywhere in this Bible. I read about Ahab. I read about Jehoshaphat. I read about some incredible stories about Elijah yesterday. Boom, 50 dead. Boom, 50 dead. Then another 100 come. Don't wipe us out too. We just want you to come talk to the king. I tell you, it's incredible. I ain't never been so enthused about reading the Word of God in all my life. When I wake up in the morning, I find myself over time. My wife come home the other night. She said, hey, where's the beans? I can't help myself. I'm reading. Oh, the beans. I had to finish cutting the snap beans. Well, I got to get me something else to eat. I'm hungry for the Word. I love God. I'm having a great time here. This is incredible. The Torah portions are incredible. You get more and you get more. And there's little pieces you pick up about Yeshua, about his mother, his brother, and his sisters. Who's my mother? Who's my brother? And you take all these little pieces and they're just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, you find out it was the weight. Who's my... And he had to step back from him. I'm like, God, that's incredible. That's what that was for. So you come on Thursday. You come on Saturday. You pick up this piece. You pick up that piece. You come on Sunday and you put it all together. And you're like, wow. God, you are incredible. You are amazing. And then you get back in the field again. You're out there in the world. And the enemy throws a whisper. Shh. No, I don't want that weight. You think about it. Do you want to do that again? I don't want that head injury again. It hurts. It's heavy. It keeps you isolated away from everybody else that's godly. And you think you're doing good and you're on your own somewhere else. It's a horrible place to be. You know that? Weighted down. But I got God and I'm okay. You're not going to make it. You won't make it. Being weighed down. Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. It's in there. It's in your Bible. There's none that's good. Not one. All our hearts are messed up. All our minds are tainted. Every one of them. And this is His love for us to fix it. And this is the only way it can be fixed. And it really can't be prevented if we follow in some other religion or somebody else, or whatever somebody else said. We need to go back and check it for ourselves. Because we could be kind of being injured without even knowing it. Right? It could be kind of false and not true. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. Psalms 14:3. They have all turned aside together. They have become corrupt. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Psalms 53. Psalms 53, 1 through 3. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. Luke 18, 19. And even Yeshua, Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Even the Messiah said there is none, not even himself, but God alone. Hebrews 12. One through two, we talked about this Sunday. I'm just going to read it again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That man right there, he gave his whole heart. He gave his whole heart for you and me. He gave everything. Even took off every weight. That was even, the more you find out, the more you learn, the more you fall in love with the man, the Son of God, what he did for me. He laid aside every weight aside to finish for our hearts to be pure. To protect our minds and keep us protected. Ezekiel 11, 19 through 21. Ezekiel 11, 19 through 21 says, I will give them one heart and a new spirit. I will put it within them. I remove the heart of stone from their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose heart goes after their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their deeds upon their own heads. We just do it to ourselves. If we go in error and keep not listening to the word and avoid it, we're just damaging ourselves. He just wants to help us. He loves us. So all this word has been given to us all this time. It's a weaning process. To wean us off of those things that weigh us down. Wean us off of the things that are destructive in our lives. The behaviors. Oh, the behaviors. We don't know them unless someone shares it with us and shows us sometimes. We think we're okay. Like I said before, it's a great example in my life to sit me down right there and show me something. I didn't see it. I got blindsided somewhere. As I got hit, I wasn't watching or paying attention. Listen to a lie. A lie is damaging. Very destructive. And I could have made this choice to go the other way. I can't believe what they're telling me. It's the first thing the enemy says. Can you believe that? You're better than that. The enemy lies. But the word of God says, heed my instruction, boy. You better listen. You go this way, you're going to be doing much better. Those who would not take heed, it would end up with head trauma. And again, like I said before, with the head wounds, some make it out. Some don't ever make it back. So keep that in mind. When we're out there, make sure we shield it. Make sure we protect it with the Word of God. He said meditate on it day and night. Keep it dear to your heart. Psalms 51:10 through 17. This is what David did. Psalms 51, 10 through 17. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. He knew there was no joy where he was at, right? Return to me the joy. Once you taste it, you know when you're in the wrong. You want to fix it. You do everything you can to fix it. Being in the peace, being in that joy. And uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness, O Lord. Open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I will give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. You know, in that story that I read last night, I never heard of it before, with Ahab and Naboth. Ahab was the king, Jezebel was queen. And I read that story, and that broke my heart. That man Naboth had his own little vineyard right next to the palace, and Ahab goes over there to buy it from the guy, and he don't want to sell. He says, this is my forefathers, generation. I'm not selling, it's mine. God was an innocent guy. And Jezebel comes in and sees Ahab pouting. What are you pouting for? He won't sell the vineyard. I'll get it. So she goes over there. She says, get me some men. Go over there. Hold a fast. And we'll take two strangers, this man and this man, and get on each side of him. And after the fast, you lie about it. You lie that he did something wrong towards God and towards the throne. And then you stone him to death. And that's what they did. They went over there. They lied about the man, said, this man, treason against the king, against the Lord, brought him out there. Can you imagine this guy? What'd I do? And they stoned him to death. That was wrong. That was a mean thing to do to that guy. He didn't do anything wrong. And Jezebel had him killed like that. Oh, the next thing you read, God, he says, Elijah, you go down there. And you go tell him what's fixing to happen to him. Dog's going to lap up his blood. He's in trouble. And then when you read a little bit further, you see Ahab, he gets down and starts putting sackcloth and repenting and asking God for forgiveness. And God says to Elijah, look at Ahab. He's humbling himself. And that moved God. He humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, he said, all right, won't kill him. We'll bring it to his cursed generations, his sons. And you know, that stuck out to me right there when he says, and it's in 1 Kings 21, 28, 29. It says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days I will bring the disaster upon his house. And then you read further, Ahab gets freed from that, but then he steps himself into another spot. Micaiah comes over there, and he tells him what's going to happen, and he still doesn't heed the word. He still doesn't listen to instruction, and goes out there and gets himself hit with an arrow, and he dies anyway, just like he said it would happen. Like, we ought to learn from these instructions. We ought to learn from all these people's examples, right? All these people are people, examples for us to look at and to study and apply to our lives so that we can make it, right? That's what it is. It's examples that God gives for us to live by. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. See, the Father gives us enough every week. If we take heed to it, we can be sustained. He will not give us more than what we can bear. It's not everybody else. It's not everything else. It's just a little test to break the stone off your heart, to get our hearts pure, so we can get close right next to him and overshadowed by him. It's incredible. It's all it is. It's a help to us. It's his love towards us. And you know, God always gives the answer. How do I get past this temptation or addiction? Pastor was given the perfect analogy about a spirit. Don't take the weight. Don't take the weight. The devil has a lot of them, right? So if you want one, you could take one. But if you know better, wouldn't you just leave them on him? Don't take no weights. Because you know what's going to happen. Especially if you've been there and done it before. So ponder our thoughts. And ponder our steps. If we're taking heed and listening to a lot of Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on a daily basis, we'll ponder our footsteps and make sure. Be careful before you step. Think. Think on these things, right? Think on these things, and they'll sustain you. They'll shield you and keep you close to the Father. 1 Corinthians 10, 6 through 12. 1 Corinthians. Now these things happened as examples for us, so we would not crave evil things as they also craved. It's craving. Do not be idlers, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did. It's all examples for us to look at, right? Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. Every time they did those acts, you read thousands died. Thousands. 3,000. 2,000, 10,000, lots died. Every time they didn't heed the instructions and went playing around. 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Amen. Psalms 18, 22 through 32. Psalms 18, 22 through 32 says, for all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him. I kept myself from guilt. You know, a guilty heart is an indicator. You know, God has built something inside of us that when we know better, our heart starts getting heavy before we put the weight on. Have you noticed that? You think of something, you go to say something, or you want to do something, and you already know. It reminds me when I was a teenager. My grandma, she used to always get on me about stuff. I'd go past my time of coming home, and I could hear her hollering down the lane, Chad Anthony! My heart was already pounding before she even hollered. I already knew better. Your heart gets heavy. And the weight starts coming on. You know better than to look at that. You know better than to say that. Think about it. Ponder it. Ponder it. And it's hard to know that if you don't know the Word. If you're not here on Thursdays and fix our schedule around God's schedule rather than God's schedule around our schedule. We have to adjust that. Sometimes I'm like, man, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And you know what? I just discipline myself and say, you know what? I'm just going to have to get rid of some things. You got to. If you don't get rid of some things, you're going to stay in the same spot going nowhere. Nowhere. You'll never get the stones out. We'll never get it fixed. Then we have Proverbs chapter 4. This is my favorite chapter. I love Proverbs 4. I go over this chapter every day. Proverbs 4. Every sentence in chapter 4. Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father. He's a father, right? Give attention that you may gain understanding. Pay attention. If I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son inside of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart, there's that word heart again. Everywhere as I look this week, I come across the word heart. Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Wisdom is the word of God. It's His instructions. Acquire it. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Seems like it's very important, right? Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. His word guards you. It protects you. Love it, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace. Embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. It's a promise. He promises. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. That boy liked to stumble and hit that table trying to run with all them weights Sunday. It's hard to run with all those weights. So you heed his word, take all the weights off. You run with freedom. If you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. I think God's kind of adamant about what he's saying here. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not even pass by it. Turn away from it. Pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter. That shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what they stumble over. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health. God's word is health to all our flesh. You want to get healthy? You want to be healed? Take heed, morning, day, noon, night, every chance you get. Healing to your flesh. All your body, watch over your heart. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. It ain't about that person's business. It ain't about what that person's doing. It's where you're going, where you're headed, and where God's got you. In that lane right there. Not that, not that. Not that, not them over there, not that over there. What he's got planned for you, right there. You stay right there. And that's what he's been teaching me. You stay right there. I don't care who's got more. I don't care who's got less. I want you to stay right there. And you be happy and thankful about everything. And that's what you do. And you honor him, and you honor the Son, and I assure you, he'll let you pass. But if you don't keep it up, you're going to stay right there. be like Groundhog Day every year. Promise you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all, he didn't say some, he said, all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Simple. We heed these instructions every day on a daily basis. We'll be shielded. We won't have no head injuries. And we'll stay close to the Father with our heart, right? And stay pure. Trust me, no, God knows what he's doing. Psalms 51, 1 through 15. Y'all haven't had any word this week? I'm giving you some. Psalms 51, 1 through 15. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He knows. He knows. Pay attention to what he knows. This is what we're supposed to be doing. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Nobody else, only me. I and I alone have sinned against you, Father. Not pulling nobody else in there like Saul did. Hey, they did it. Look at them. In the heat of rejection, look. And God knew he was going to do it before he even did it, before he even said it. God knew his heart. Against you and only you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. It tells you. When we brought forth in iniquity, all of us were, right? And in sin my mother conceived me. Every one of us has been born in it. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And that's what we talked about earlier. Right? Humble ourselves. A broken and contrite heart. God loves. That's what he desires. Psalms 55, I caught on to this morning. This is a pretty good one. Psalms 55. You get in there and you start reading stories you ain't never read before. You start coming across stuff that enlightens you, makes you love God and His Son so much more. Keep falling in love over and over again. Psalms 55. Now pay attention to what David says here. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. Confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her upon her walls. And iniquity and mischief are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. For it is not an enemy, pay attention, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling in their midst. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Now, I focused on this little part right here where he said, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me or weighs me down, but it's one who is closest to me. One who used to go to, how it says that? It says, a man of my equal, we had sweet fellowship together. We walked in the house of God in the throng. We walked together. They were friends. Things happen between him and someone closest to him, right? Don't weights come down on you whenever somebody closest to you, somebody does you some wrong? There's a heavy weight on David right here. Not only do you have the weight of his enemy all around him, now he's got one that he's closest to, that he talks to God with, he loves the Lord with, he talks to every day, a closest one, and all of a sudden he's like an enemy. All of a sudden, he's got a weight on him. So that weight had to come off. It kind of reminds you of Yeshua. It reminds you of Jesus. When Judas is sitting at the table, the pastor was talking about that. That had to be a heavy hurt, a heavy weight, to pick those 12 and to do all of that. And here he is sitting at the table knowing exactly what he's going to do to him, betray him. One closest to you, right? Even some in here, one may be closest to you. Maybe a heavy weight, something had done you wrong. You got to let those weights go. You got to get it off your heart. You got to let it go and keep it in line and do what the Father's telling you to do. Keep a pure heart. And if we've done something wrong, we got to fix it and humble ourselves and get our hearts pure before God. Because that's the only peace you'll ever get, the only true peace, the only true love that you'll ever get is being humble. And so I caught that when I read that this morning about somebody closest to him. It's a heavy weight. It really is. So we're going to ponder our path, watch our mouth, be careful what we say and what we do. So pure, clean hearts will keep us close to him, protected under the shadow, love, and protection. And we'll continue to come and get his instructions to keep our heads shielded and protected from injury, right? Does anybody have anything? Does anybody want to give a testimony and share things I'm going through? I know y'all got to be going through these things. I know y'all got to be having these weeping moments. I never had so many weeping moments in 1 week. Pastor, y'all got anything? All right, Brother Josh, you want to close? Or you want me to close? All right. Thank you, Father, for your words. We thank you for your instructions. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness. There's no one as faithful as you, Father. There's no one with such pure heart and love that can love us like you, Father. There's no one like your Son. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for all the pressure, all the weight you took off of me, all the beatings, all the scourgings, everything you took because you loved me and you knew I was going to do the right thing. And that I can endure. For you wouldn't have picked us if you knew we couldn't make it. You know we can make it. And we trust you, Lord. We love you so much and we thank you. And if there be any sin, anything upon any one of us, Father, before we leave here tonight, just ask you to forgive us. Cleanse us from our unrighteousness. And we thank you for creating in us pure, clean hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen.